Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
So this week, we're going to head on to Disney Plus.
Again. We like Disney Plus.
Yeah, I mean, what else is there to do in quarantine? But they put on a new collection.
Yeah.
Something vintage.
Yeah, it's aptly named.
Yeah, very aptly named. But the Star Wars Vintage Collection.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Boba Fett cartoon from the holiday special.
Thank God they didn't put the whole thing on there.
Very smart. Very smart. That's the only good thing from the entire holiday special.
That's
cartoon. The Ewoks cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
The original Clone Wars cartoon. Not the one that's getting all the praise these days.
Right.
It's like a 3D animation.
Yeah.
It's
so that's old. On there, just not in the Vintage Collection,
right.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And what we watched today.
Yes.
The two Ewok TV movies.
Back to back.
Back to back.
Yeah.
We stayed awake.
We did. Yay.
Yay. But before we get to all that.
Yeah.
We have some traditions here.
We do. Every episode.
So, Krista.
Yes.
What was your nerd thing this week?
I have so many nerd things.
You do. You may be a little bit of a nerd, I guess.
Oh, weird. Huh?
Yeah. Huh.
Today I spent part of the day building a Mickey and Minnie Lego set wearing a pair of Yoda pajama pants and my Steamboat Willie spirit jersey. A little bit of a nerd. Also, my family sent us a bit of an Easter basket box. Well, I guess it's a box, not a basket.
Well, that boxes get mailed.
Yes.
That's how that works. Yeah.
And there was some nerdy stuff in there that was very up our alley. I had some Animal Crossing items in there, which of course I loved, as well as my very soft baby Yoda pajama pants I'm wearing right now. I also put in a Disney store order.
Uh-oh.
That's right. That came yesterday. So not only do I have all these other nerd things going on, but I got the Loungefly bag that I've been wanting since I started looking at Loungefly bags.
Before you had any Loungefly bags.
Before I had any, and I thought for sure I had completely missed out, but I got my baby Yoda / Grogu, whatever you want to call him. Loungefly bag.
Well, the Loungefly bag came out before he was named Grogu.
Exactly. So he's baby Yoda.
He's in his little floating cradle.
It's amazing.
It is really cute.
And I got Nemos.
Yes. Yes, he did.
I got Winnie the Pooh and Piglet and Eeyore. And
who didn't you get?
I know. I didn't get Tigger. And I was like so proud of myself for exercising some self-restraint. And since I have literally hit send or submit or whatever it is you hit on those when you do online ordering, I have regretted not getting Tigger because I feel so bad for leaving him out and only him out. But I figure at the beginning of May, they'll have new clothing items released and maybe I'll pick up Tigger then.
Oh, good. More clothing.
I swear I will not turn our Instagram account into a Nemo account. Probably. Well, okay, like for a little while. They're really cute. So, yes, it's all kinds of nerd stuff in my world right now.
I think you took all the nerd stuff over for this week. Like,
really? Yeah, I took them all from you?
You were the nerdy one this week. I mostly just worked and
Well, you know what it
sad.
Is I'm on spring break right now.
Yeah.
So I've got to really enjoy that. I mean, heck. Okay, here's one for you. We watched one of my favorite musicals. Okay, we watched Hamilton, which is one of my favorite musicals. But we also watched this one you put on for me. We watched Once More with Feeling, the episode from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
On Star,
that's right. Hey, yes.
Yes.
That's right.
And you can watch the whole Buffy the Vampire series on Star.
Yes. We didn't watch that. We have watched it before, of course, but we just went and jumped to Once More with Feeling.
Yes, which is in season 6.
Yes.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's like two-thirds of the way through.
Two-thirds of the way,
like
yeah.
Yeah.
We've seen that very many times.
So many times. I can quote the entire thing. So you put that on for me. That can be a nerd thing for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I took all the nerd things.
Well, you were nerdy enough for both of us.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's
there true. You go.
Because I'm on spring break and you were working.
Yeah. Woof.
Yeah.
Don't want to talk about it.
Okay, fair. So another thing we always talk about at the beginning of the show is what are you drinking currently?
Well, I have a new favorite,
mm-hmm.
actually. The neutrals that we talk about quite frequently.
Yes.
Official drink of the NHL.
Right. Let's say it's because of we support hockey. Let's say
yeah.
that's why. Yeah.
And they're pretty good for you. They are 0.00.
As far as drinks like that go.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's a health drink. I'm pretty sure it's healthy. Yeah, it's like
fruit juice.
But they came out with a new flavor, peach.
Yes.
And it tastes like summer and deliciousness, and I'm going to have it.
Mm. Very nice.
Yeah, quite delicious.
Cool, yeah. Well, since I've been off and we have had some nice weather until yesterday when it started snowing again, I actually even got a little bit of an early tan.
Early tan before the snow...
Before the snow came back.
Fourth winter.
Yes.
We were in the spring of deceit.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, Canada isn't full of stereotypes. Oh, wait. We had snow warnings in April. But yes, the day before that, I was sitting in a t-shirt out on the deck reading. I was enjoying those out in the sun. They taste like springtime and summer and happiness and make you almost think that winter's gone.
Right on. Well, yeah. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, I don't know how well those are going to clank. Clank.
Clank. Yeah, good enough.
Tin cans. Another thing we like to talk about is whatever Marvel's doing at the moment or whatever new show is out. The fourth episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we also just watched today because we're recording this on Friday.
Yeah.
What did you think? Spoiler-free initial gut reaction.
I was seeing some stuff online and it was like, Falcon and the Winter Soldier's no WandaVision because it doesn't have the mysterious nature to it and all that stuff, but that was awesome. And
yeah. That was my favorite episode so far. I think I said that with last episode.
I don't know. I just really am enjoying it. And yeah. Zemo's
amazing.
A standout character.
What did you find me that Marvel Studios actually dropped on YouTube?
This was from episode 3.
Right.
But they put on their official Marvel Entertainment YouTube channel an hour of Baron Zemo dancing in the club. And it's literally an hour video of
just him dancing.
And it's not like looped or anything. They like shot an hour of him dancing.
You just know during that whole take, they just had them keep dancing. Yeah, literally. So if you really want to see an hour of Zemo dancing,
you can.
You are welcome. I was like, I don't know why I'm enjoying this as much as I am. So comparatively, like you said, you were watching a lot of stuff looking at a lot of stuff online that was comparing WandaVision.
Yeah.
I get Falcon and Winter Soldier isn't done yet, but we have 2 episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were about 2/3 of the way through WandaVision compared to 2/3 of the way through now, very different shows. But if you were to say, I like this one better, which one would you be pointing at?
Well, I definitely like WandaVision better. And I was like, when we were 2/3 of the way through, I was like a junkie desperate for his next fix of WandaVision. Whereas Winter Soldier and Falcon, I'm just like, this is really awesome and I like it.
Yes.
But
okay.
I'm not like, I'm like, what? I'm not like, what's going to happen?
Right.
So it's different that way, but it's just great.
It's super fun. I really enjoy it. Like I said, WandaVision's probably in my top 3 list of favorite shows ever. At least top 5, but probably top 3. Yeah, I mean, like, good. I was like waking up having dreams of WandaVision, kind of being like, what's going on? That's not happening here, although I am pleasantly surprised every single episode. This one, loved it, blew my mind. So good. So good, so good. So if you're not watching Falcon Winter Soldier, you are missing out.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And we want our Zemo spinoff.
Right? I just want, like, all Zemo. Yeah, it's super fun. And I'm having a hard time believing I'm watching a television show.
Well, that was the thing I read, and it's saying that the weekly release schedule is hurting Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Really?
Because it's more like a movie. So splitting it up in that way is hurting. I don't agree with that. But
I don't either, so that's interesting. Yeah, I'll be curious to see once it all comes together. We have 2 episodes left, and then I'm sure we'll binge rewatch all of it and do an episode about it. And yeah, so I'm gonna reserve final judgment until then, but just a whole lot of fun, all kinds of good.
Yeah.
Favorite episode so far.
Really good.
Yeah. So that takes us to the news. Disney A News Update.
Bit of news this week.
Holy news this week.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? When things start opening up again,
there's
news.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah, that's the nice thing. The States is rounding the bend.
The States is.
Yep.
We're not doing great here in Alberta at all. So, you know, States, when you guys are done with all those vaccine supplies, if you wanted to send them north of the border, we'd love that.
Thumbs up. Yeah.
So, since the States is doing a little bit better, we have news coming out. First of all, we have a new Cruella trailer.
Right. Just dropped today?
Yeah, it looks awesome. Go ahead.
It's different. Like, they've done villain prequels kind mm-hmm. of before. Maleficent being the big one. And, like, they had the Wizard of Oz prequel. Which
right.
We never watched that, no.
It's
kind of semi-Disney.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Same kind of thing. Audience, yeah.
Yeah. But this one is taking a different stride, it looks like, mm-hmm. than Maleficent. They like, turned Maleficent into the sympathetic character. Whereas they're... Well, I mean, Cruella likes to kill puppies, so you can't make her a sympathetic character. Sorry.
It's true. Yeah, that would just not work. We talked about Maleficent a fair bit in our Halloween episode, mm-hmm. which you should check out if you mm-hmm. haven't heard it. But we both kind of came to the same conclusion about it, whereas it was good, we liked it, we thought they went too far with making her a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
You can make a villain sympathetic without trying to turn them into a good guy misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they leaned too far with that with Maleficent. Here, I'm not sure that they're going to. The first, like the teasers and stuff we were getting,
right.
I thought they were going to.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh no, Cruella's just nuts.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool. You said you were getting strong Joker vibes.
Yeah, that's what the internet's saying. It's Disney's Joker, like the Joaquin Phoenix version, where you see him become the Joker, that you see her become Cruella.
Right. And you're not sure, like, insanity or justified, and it's a whole big debate.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they do that, I'm interested in that.
And the most interesting thing I saw from this, because we don't know a bunch about it. It's just a prequel.
Right, yeah.
There was Dalmatians in this trailer.
Yes, there were.
So
we have a little tie with Dalmatians. Biggest thing that stuck out to me, well, as soon as they announced that Emma Stone was going to be Cruella, I was very intrigued with this, because Cruella is always portrayed as being, like, older and, like, very much Devil Wears Prada, but, like, that kills puppies.
That's the other vibe I was getting from this trailer.
And that's what I said right after, was serious Devil Wears Prada vibes. So I was super excited to see Emma Stone in there. But I think just the cast across the board is going to be amazing.
It's
one
fun.
Of my favorite British actresses, actors ever is in it, and I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know Emma Thompson was in it?
I might have heard it, but it didn't come.
It didn't register?
It didn't register, mm-hmm. but yes. She looks like she's having fun.
So, yeah. Which I always appreciate. Yeah. When you look at the original 101 Dalmatians live action, the best part about that is you can just tell Glenn Close is having an amazing time.
Yes.
So if you're gonna sign on to do that, lean into it, have a good time. Yeah. So anyway, watch that trailer. It looks really awesome. Also, speaking of trailers, Loki trailer. Oh, man.
It blows my mind. We're like in the middle of a major Marvel TV series.
Yes.
Miniseries.
Yep.
That's like a movie. And they're already dropping a trailer for the next one.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I get there was some build up. Like,
this
stuff is being released quickly now because they had a dead zone in 2020 where they didn't release anything.
Right, so they're like making up for
It's just really nice time to be a Marvel fan.
I know. I get asked sometimes whether, specifically you, but just in general, whether you like Star Wars or Marvel better.
It has leaned to Marvel recently,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, both are great, so why choose?
Yeah, so the new Loki trailer came out this last week, and it's super exciting, so definitely check that out as well. You get a little bit more of...
That was our kitty.
Sorry, cat. I don't know if I'm going to edit that out or not. So if I don't, that was our cat. This is Duke, who feels necessary to meow into the microphone.
He was lonely.
He was. So this one, we get a little bit more story about Loki's role and all of that kind of stuff. So it looks really cool.
Yeah, it was more of a story trailer than the first one, which was just kind of like the hits of him doing alternate history stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks fun. I'm really looking forward to this.
Super fun. I'm sure this is the one that people are going to be going nuts for, because everybody loves Loki.
Everybody loves Loki.
Yeah. Okay, and huge, huge news, Disneyland people. Speaking of Marvel, we have a date for Avengers Campus opening.
I was lucky enough to see this like 5 minutes after they posted it.
Yeah, and then you sent it to me. I saw maybe 7 minutes after, but you saw it before I did. That is amazing. June 4th.
A little bit earlier than I thought.
Yeah, I was expecting.
I would have put money on sometime in July.
I was expecting they would have it open just before Independence Day. Like, to get those crowds, but not compete with those crowds. Like, maybe do it the week before. So, I was thinking end of June, beginning of July.
But, you know, vaccines are ahead of schedule in the States, so...
Way ahead of schedule.
They are moving things up.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it's basically a month after the parks open.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. That surprises me a fair bit that they're not waiting more, actually. Because it's not like they have to beg crowds to come in or anything that.
They're going
to
be full every day, pretty much.
Yeah. So, speaking of Disneyland opening, first of all, Avengers Campus, seriously exciting. That is not going to be open when Disneyland opens. But we did get a list of all of the attractions that will and will not be open in Disneyland and California Adventure. So I'm going to do a very quick run through here. Primarily, I'm actually just mostly going to talk about the ones that aren't going to be open because it's a much shorter list. Most of the attractions will be open. I mean, I'm not talking about the indoor shows and things like that, of course. But, okay, let's do Disneyland first. So Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters will be closed. That's because they're closed for renovations. I thought maybe it was like a shooting,
touching the trigger.
Yeah. Well, one of the sources, actually, the Los Angeles Times is where I got that it was closed for renovations. So I'm going to assume that's true. Chippendale Treehouse is going to be closed. Davy Crockett's Explorer Canoes. Disneyland Monorail, which we knew. Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage, not surprising there. We hypothesized about that.
Yeah, I mean, most people figured that one's enclosed.
Exactly.
It's not a good idea right
now. It makes sense. Goofy's Playhouse. The Jungle Cruise is closed for renovation, which I think we should talk about later. Yep. Not this episode, but...
I mean, that was announced a while ago. They're removing some culturally insensitive parts of that ride and updating the story behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about how everyone's getting a backstory and things like that. So once that is a little bit further in, that would be a cool thing to talk about, I think.
Yeah.
Goofy's...
Maybe when the movie finally comes out.
Maybe. That's a good idea. Main Street Cinema. Matterhorn Bobsleds is also closed for renovation. And the sailing ship Columbia, that's surprising.
But Mark Twain is open.
Mark Twain is open.
So they only have one going.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
I was like, hey, that's an outdoor attraction. That's weird. But that totally makes sense. Just to keep one at a time. Mm-hmm. Sleeping Beauty Castle Walkthrough and the Storybook Land Canal Boats. Well, yes, okay, that's an outdoor attraction, but you are literally crammed in a boat with a bunch of random people.
They're very small boats, yes.
That seems like a very COVID-friendly decision. but I have a hypothesis. I have a statement about this list, but I want to come back to it because first let's just look at the Disney California Adventure closed list. It's much shorter. Grizzly River Run is still closed for renovation. It's also their...
I wonder what they're doing on
that. Well, it is their quiet time, like that they would have had it down anyway during this kind of time.
I guess, but...
But they'd be opening right about now again, so I guess they just didn't get to do those renovations during that time.
I don't know.
Maybe they're worried about people yelling, staring at each other and... things like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Those round boats might be slightly a bit
maybe.
Of a problem. I don't know.
Space pretty well. So they just maybe didn't get to those renovations before, and now they're going to. The Golden Zephyr and the Red Car Trolley. I'm not sure about the Golden Zephyr, why that one's closed. It didn't say what the deal was, but it's closed, so. Okay, so you know that list of Disneyland ones I listed? Looks like most of Toontown is not available.
Yeah, I mean... That's supposed to be a touchy-feely place.
Well, yeah, most of that was taken away anyway.
Yeah.
But you have Gadget's Go Coaster, you have Roger Rabbit's Spin, and that looks like that's it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to be fair, those are really the only things worth doing in Toontown, in our opinion, anyway, unless you have a bunch of, like, little kids or something running around. Yeah, Toontown is probably not going to be where you're spending your time when the park opens.
No, and... Why? I mean, I wouldn't spend my time there anyway, so whoop-de-doo.
But, yeah, so that is interesting. Yeah. Any of those surprise you?
Well, Grizzly River Run surprised me. I thought they would have that going. Mm-hmm. They must be doing something a little more significant. And the timing of the refurbishment on Matterhorn surprises me. as well.
Yeah. It's too bad they're doing Grizzly River Run and Matterhorn at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, they're different parks, and one's a water ride.
It's true,
ride,
but they are allowing park hopping as long as you do your reservation kind of thing. Yeah. So,
which,
yeah.
That also surprises
that
the heck out
of me. That surprised
me
a lot. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's super exciting. They've been running trains and doing, like, having the rides going and stuff now. So.
Yeah, they got to test stuff before it runs, so...
So close.
That's, yeah, it's so coming close. Up.
Yep. Yeah, so that's about it for the news. Big news items.
That's a lot of news. Disney Plus and chill.
Okay, so like we said, top of the show, we headed to Disney Plus again this week to talk about the Ewoks.
Ewoks. Yup nub.
Yup nub.
Yup nub.
You said you had watched one of these before as a child.
Yes. I didn't remember it whatsoever.
Not, okay, that was literally my question.
No, not at all. I could have sworn. It's weird how your mind works. I could have sworn there were stormtroopers in it, but there was not.
Nope, none whatsoever.
Yeah.
Nope. It was some, like, blasters. Maybe
yeah.
That was what
No,
thinking.
I inserted them in my mind or somehow. I don't know.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have two made-for-TV movies here.
Yep.
1984 and 1985. So the first one that came out in 1984 was called Caravan of Courage.
Oh.
That was very dramatic.
Yes.
How I read that. It's also sometimes called The Ewok Adventure. So, okay. Watching these, I had never seen either of them before. And we turn them on, and the first thing we hear is Burl Ives.
Yep. And you thought you were watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Well, the giant bumble-like creature didn't hurt either, as far as that goes.
Yeah, but Burl Ives narrates the first one.
That was weird.
Because the Ewoks don't speak English, and they have, like, a good half an hour of the first part of the movie is all Ewoks doing Ewok-y things.
Yeah.
Not speaking English. Very strange.
It's super strange.
I mean, it makes sense that they don't speak English, but to have a whole section of the movie be just Ewoks is probably not the best choice.
Well, and the weird thing was Burl Ives narrated a bunch and then he like disappeared.
He disappeared.
And then he came back and said a statement and then disappeared.
Yeah,
and then he
was
just gone.
It was very uneven, his narration.
Yes.
And
I'd laughed every time he spoke.
Uneven is the best way to describe this movie.
Yes.
There was not a strong plot. Maybe.
Fair.
Maybe is what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the intro with the parents looking for their kids.
Yeah.
And then you cut back to the Ewoks finding the kids in the ship.
Yes.
Makes
I'm
no
sense.
I'm
assuming that happened before.
But the kids are like, oh, the parents left us. So
yeah,
makes,
and then they said, oh, maybe they took our parents, but the parents were like, we went looking for power converters or whatever. Like, literally, there
they
are
went
holes
to Tashi
all over
Station
the place.
Yeah. To get their power converters.
Should put your glasses up when you say that. I feel like it's necessary. Yeah, like serious holes there, right?
I don't know. I maybe some editing issues, maybe a poor script. Who
maybe
knows?
We're being judgy on a 1984.
I will judge
movie.
The crap out of these Ewoks. Okay.
Okay, I do want to talk about Ewoks, and I think this movie really exemplified it. So what are your overall feelings on Ewoks as a species or in the Star Wars universe in general?
Oh boy. Okay. Ewoks.
You didn't know I was gonna ask that.
Yeah. They are the first step in the merchandise sales of Star Wars.
Yep.
Like, Star Wars merchandise was a big thing from the first couple movies. Like,
one day we should take a picture of our back wall where you have all your action figures.
Like, but they didn't think it was going to be.
Right.
Like, Mattel passed. Like, we watched that documentary on the toys.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Watch on Netflix.
The
it's
Toys,
the toys
that,
made Us.
Yes.
Was it the first episode that did Star Wars?
It's the first one we watched. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Find it. It's amazing because the history of that is incredibly interesting.
Very, very interesting. But no one thought this movie was going to do anything.
Right.
And they didn't know. But they ended up making these toys and they were it was a super popular movie and the toys made tons of money. But the Ewoks are the first time that George Lucas put something in there to sell.
Right.
And it, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't super work. Like, Ewoks are kind of cute, but what they their role in Return of the Jedi especially is a little silly, if you ask me. And they're a little, actually a little better in these TV movies because the TV movies are silly on their own.
Right. So they fit more.
So they fit more, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. So I was listening to...
First of all...
Oh, okay.
This is supposed to take place around the same time as Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
Before Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also in the Legends continuity now. Like, it's not actually canon.
Yes.
As far as Star Wars movies
but goes. But if you're trying to figure it out.
Which is good because in this first movie, they have goats and horses and llamas.
Yes. And chickens and rabbits and...
All these earth creatures. It's very strange.
And then Ewoks.
Yeah. So you don't want those actually in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
It would be very weird.
Yeah. So there are two weird continuity things. One with each film. And the first one is all of these like farm animals.
There's
that are
earth
like
farm
just
animals.
Chilling out on the forest moon.
The Ewoks have a llama.
Yeah, they do. He's just there. He doesn't really do anything.
There's your episode title.
The Ewoks have
a llama.
Fair. So I actually read or listened to or something some interviews about, you know, the criticism that he was getting about the Ewoks and so on, about being merchandising. Yes, of course it's merchandising. I mean, look at everything that came after that. Like, hello, Porgs.
Well, I mean, Jar Jar from the prequels was merchant, did not go super well, but I mean, kids like Jar Jar.
Totally.
So
when that movie came out, my younger brother was quite a bit younger than me, and, well, he still is quite a bit younger than me, but he was a right...
That's how time works!
But he was like a great age for Jar Jar.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was a huge Jar Jar fan, but like, you could tell that he was not, you know, terribly annoyed with him watching him as a child or anything like that. What I find interesting about Ewoks is Ewoks aren't like Porgs. Ewoks aren't like, I don't know, what other little animal is there that runs around?
Baby Yoda?
No, Baby Yoda's different. So there's this weird line between like the creatures in Star Wars and like civilizations in Star Wars.
Okay, yeah.
And Ewoks are civilization.
Yeah.
But they are meant to be seen as like relatively primitive, right?
Yeah, so the thing I read is they were actually semi-based on the Viet Cong.
Yeah.
So, with their primitive tools, but taking down this
big
empire thing. Yeah.
That's really interesting to me.
It is interesting. Yeah. It is, yeah.
And I like that they were, originally, there was this idea between, like, what to do with Chewie, and there was, like, the Ewoks evolved from his ideas for Chewie and kind of things. It's like, well, I'll just make them smaller, and then they'll sell better, and so interesting that you had that same kind of, that you had read that same kind of thing about the influence from the Viet Cong. So when you find that out, they have this whole other perspective to them, I find. Because then it's like, well, then we're actually making a statement with them a little bit, also selling toys.
Yeah.
And that being said, have you seen the Loungefly for Wicket?
The Wicket Loungefly is very cute.
Super cute.
That's one that you definitely aren't going to be able to get because that's old.
Yeah. Ewoks, like, it works on me. They are adorable. Their teeth are actually a little creepy. They look a little vicious.
And their tongues?
Also, yeah. Also, they're, you know, going to cook humans.
Yeah, they like to eat humans.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Only the ones that are mean to them.
Well,
the ones that are nice are fine.
Or the ones they just happen to find in the forest.
Yeah, but not Leia.
Yeah, that's true. But
they can tell good.
See, Wicket had this experience with a nice lady from
all
before.
That makes sense now. Yeah. Well, nice girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, humans are good. So I find Ewoks interesting, and I was kind of watching these movies through that lens of like,
Oh,
what is he trying to do? Okay, so... You said already this is now part of the Legends series, but we do have the second movie is supposed to follow immediately after the first one.
Yeah, let's focus on the first one first.
Okay.
And then we can move on to the second one. So I feel that they were trying to like be inspired maybe a little bit by Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Because they're like at home in Ewok Village and it's all happiness and then they...
It's not a hobbit hole, Brandon. These are high in the trees. It's
right.
Totally different.
Totally different. And then they have this quest to go on.
Yes.
And they assemble the Caravan of Courage.
Right.
And they all have their little trinkets that they have to take. I lend you my axe and my bow. That type of thing.
My rock.
My rock. This is the first appearance of The Rock.
Oh, hey. Wow.
No?
That was bad. I want to do better. Boo. No one has ever seen this movie. He's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So then they go on this quest and they have to find these kids' parents.
Yes.
Who are up in this cage and they save them from the giant. And
it's awesome.
It's super good. Mm-hmm. Actually, the last like third of the movie is better than the first two thirds.
And I'm like, I don't know why I didn't like that part more. It must have been the pacing, because I like Ewoks. I always loved Return of the Jedi, actually. I always liked that, like, their society I found was interesting. I thought that was kind of cool. They're adorable. It totally worked on me. Disney can take my money.
Yeah, I just think spending 45 minutes with them doing nothing but Ewok-y stuff is kind of boring.
Well, and then the only humans you have during that time is one girl who's, I'm sick.
For no reason.
And then I'm like, but then she says, well, I have a fever. I was like, then why are you coughing? Like, well, I'm not hungry. Like, her symptoms do not make sense, first of all. And then
she's just sick.
That's fine. I mean, that's not fine. She's okay. But yeah, that's fine as a plot device. So you have her, and then you have your only other person who speaks English that we can understand what's going on, besides Burl Ives, mind you, is maybe the whiniest. Like, he makes episode 4 Luke look like a well-adjusted, mature individual.
Yeah, I mean, he's wearing a rebel flight suit.
It's true.
He's made to look. He's supposed to evoke Luke.
Yeah.
On Tatooine, and he makes the whininess.
Oh my god.
The most important part there.
But it isn't just the whininess that got me. Like, it is the absolute, like, Lucas was trying to do something with, like, making a comment about imperialism and different cultures clashing together. Man, he was a little heavy-handed here. Like, no, I'm going to shoot you. Oh, you beat me. I demand you take care of my sister. I'm also going to steal your food. Man, you're just animals that I've been following around. You're nothing. What's that? You saved me again? Like, literally, it was so, so heavy-handed.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a TV movie.
A TV movie in 1984. Yeah. I get that. In the Star Wars world.
Anyway, this was not a good
movie.
It was
not great.
I
didn't hate it. It was not great.
I probably will never watch this again.
Do you know it was originally just called The Ewok Adventure when it was released?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It's in The Ewok Adventure.
Yeah, and there was only one of them, so they didn't have to differentiate. Mm. Yeah. Do you know that it won an Emmy?
Well, I do, because you wrote it down here in the notes. Outstanding visual effects.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a high bar for TV movies. So, yeah. There was some cool green screen and matte paintings.
Yeah. Well, actually, both of them did win that award. And then
the second one actually has quite good special effects for 1985.
And they both were nominated for, like, Outstanding Children's Programming or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I guess. get your kids to watch Sesame Street or something useful, honestly.
But they can officially say Emmy Award winning Caravan of Courage.
Yeah, that's true. Awesome. Wow.
Nice. Nice, King George. All right. Anything else to add about Caravan of Courage other than you never want to watch it again?
Yeah, I don't.
On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being Rogue One and 10 being the original Star Wars Holiday Special, where is this one?
Probably like a 7.5.
Ooh. The heck's between this one and...
I don't know. Trying to leave myself some room here.
Fair. Okay. All right. Okay. So then...
It has some redeeming features. Like the giant battle scene is okay, I guess.
And you have big
the
spiders.
Weird Tinkerbell character is weird.
Oh, yeah. I kind of liked her, actually.
It was weird.
It was super weird. The first scene with her did not make any sense whatsoever. Yeah. But later, her as a character, and apparently she shows up in other Legends things. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I read it on a thing when it was just talking about them.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell.
Star Wars Tinkerbell. Yeah, okay. No. Yeah.
Okay, so the next year, Ewoks: The Battle for Endor comes out. 1985. Good year.
Yeah. Excellent vintage.
Absolutely fantastic vintage. Mm. Yes. Again, Emmy Award winning. Mm. The Battle for Endor.
And this actually deserved it. It had some good effects, like almost Star Wars level. Like the ship, when the ship flies away, it feels like a Star Wars movie.
That's true. That is true.
And when the villain dies, that's a cool effect.
Yeah, they did have some. They definitely had more than the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
They approved a lot in that one year.
This had a much bigger budget.
Yes,
for whatever reason. Yeah. I don't know, but it had a bigger budget. You could tell.
Yeah. So I found a review from the New York Times when this first came out. This was John Corey wrote it, and it was written...
Oh, John Corey.
Old him. Yeah, 1985. Film reviewer, apparently, for the New York Times. He said, "The problem with Ewoks, Battle for Endor, isn't that it's badly done. On the contrary, it's wonderfully well done. But when it's over, it's over."
Might be a bit aggressive, but okay.
Yeah, okay. "But when it's over, it's over, and there is no residue. Mr. Lucas and his colleagues find their inspiration..."
So, you don't want any Ewok residue. Let me just say that right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, we've lost Krista again.
Okay. "Mr. Lucas and his colleagues find their inspiration in their own technology, and there should be other places to look." So basically, yeah, he's saying, like, this was fun, and then no one cares. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's a TV movie. I don't know what he wants.
Well, that's pretty much it.
But this one I had seen before. I remember watching an Ewok movie vaguely in my deep recollections, but I did not remember the plot whatsoever. And the funniest thing is, I got the biggest vibes watching this again. It reminded me very heavily of The Black Cauldron.
Oh, I see that. Totally see that, actually. The castle and stuff?
The castle and the villain and the prison scene.
Yeah.
I think they drew inspiration from either The Black Cauldron
or
the book.
Right, yeah.
Because I think these are both fantasy inspired. They Lord of the Rings was the first one, and this one I think it was the Black Cauldron or whatever that series was called.
Well, as soon as you said that, I was like, yes. Actually, one of the criticisms towards both of these movies, like paired together, was that it was more fairy tale or fantasy than sci-fi, and so it didn't fit.
But okay.
But it's a TV movie. It's not
well, no, but while Star Wars has some sci-fi elements, laser swords, lightsabers, blasters. They are fantasy. They've always been fantasy.
Yeah, that was the... I didn't write down the whole review that was talking about that, but it said that. It did say that. And it says before it was a fantasy elements wrapped in science fiction. Here, there's like no science fiction whatsoever.
Yeah.
They said, you know, there's some blasters, I guess, because it's, focused more on the fairy tale elements and things like that. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. So it's interesting that you're saying you're getting much more of those fantasy vibes. Now, the thing I would say to that is we've talked before about how different Star Wars, whether it's different Mandalorian episodes, whether it's different movies or whatever, have, you know, played with the genre.
Oh, I think that's when Star Wars is at its best. That's how it was envisioned originally.
Yeah, like, but I do get in 1984 and 1985 them being like, I don't know.
So the funniest thing about this movie, I think, and maybe why I liked it as a kid, I don't know, because it's dark as heck, but...
Maybe that's why you liked it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Mm.
I like the dark and twisted stuff. But, like, in the first 5 minutes of this movie, the main girl character from the first movie, her entire family that they went through all those adventures with in the first movie, is unceremoniously killed off.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, the whiny brother, who was, like, the main character of the first movie, just dies. Not even on screen.
No.
Like, he drags his mother off into this cabin, and you see an explosion, and you're like, oh, okay.
Was that there? And then she looks at her little wrist life monitor thingy, which is super handy.
The lights are out. I guess they're dead.
And then she's like, oh, and then runs away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's not super broken up about it.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah.
She's more worried about being hungry.
That's true.
Yeah. She's actually sadder at the end of the movie when she has to leave the Ewoks.
Well, the Ewoks are adorable. Her brother was really whiny.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I would be sadder about leaving Wicket than her brother as well.
Right?
Yeah.
Wicket regularly puts his life in danger to save her.
Also, I want to know how Wicket lost the ability to speak English between this movie and Return of the Jedi.
I was going to wonder when that came up. He speaks English in this movie. That was weird.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
I said, like, it wouldn't have even been quite so weird if it was mostly not English, and then, like, an English word here or there, because you're supposed to believe that a little bit of time has passed, not much, between the events of the first movie and the second movie, because at the beginning, the parents have been, like, fixing their ship, and the little girl's like, oh, we're gonna leave soon, and that's, they had been fixing their ship at the end of the first movie, so.
Yeah, it's been a while, like, yeah, like and that ship was wrecked.
Yeah, and he even says, you know, like, go talk to your mother, the mother's hanging out in the Ewok village and stuff like that, so they've been spending some time together, so I can understand Wicket picking up, like, a few words here and there.
Sure.
You know, some basic, very, very basic rudimentary things. He's fairly fluent.
Yeah, well,
and it's not just repeating.
I think that was just necessary for the story because he was like one of the main characters in the second film, and
he's never not without a human though. Like they could have made it work.
They could have, but I don't know. Anyway, the most important thing about this movie, of course, is it's the first appearance by Blurks.
That's I have it in capital letters in the notes. I love Blurks. Okay. I am very upset about something, Disney.
Yes.
Very upset about something.
I agree.
How come we do not have stuffed Blurks available?
Yeah, Galaxy's Edge, the creature shop, or,
yes!
or whatever it's called,
yes!
has all sorts of random Star Wars
and
critters.
And no Blurks?
No Blurks!
Blurks are amazing!
Especially after the first season of The Mandalorian.
I could totally understand, you know, them getting lost in the shuffle of Ewoks, the battle for Endor, although they also showed up in an episode of Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like a fixture of the first season of Mandalorian. Like, they're a thing. They're, like, there's part of a montage.
So, I do have a theory, though. It must be the ones in Mandalorian are dwarf Blurks,
mm-hmm.
because they are a lot smaller than the ones in this Endor movie.
Yes, that's true. That is true. They had a little bit of proportion.
And they also breathe fire.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, Disney, get your Toydarian toy shop.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, the ones that look like they're hand-stitched? Little Blurks.
Oh, like this little Wampa here? Like
oh, yes. Wampa? We have a little Wampa.
He's cute.
He's adorable. I want a Blurg like him.
Yes.
Although I will literally take any Blurg.
Any kind Blurg. Of little stuffed Blurg.
Yes. I want a stuffed one. I will take a pop one, but I really want a stuffed Blurg.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's a pop of, like, Mando riding one.
Yeah, but I want, like, a little stuffed one.
Mm.
And I just think the Toydarian, the creature shop, like, come on. Come on, Disney. This is really upsetting to me. And literally every time I saw a Blurg in Mandalorian, and then when we saw it in Clone Wars, I was like, where is my Blurg? And it upset me.
Yeah. You want a Blurg.
I want a Blurg.
We get, okay.
I don't know if I made that clear.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear.
They're awesome.
So, of these two movies,
mm-hmm.
The second one's a lot better.
Yes.
Not
just because of the Blurgs. Like, in general, it is better.
Just better. It has a more coherent
mm-hmm.
plot. It has a weird magic witch. Very
yes.
Maleficent.
Super Maleficent-y. Or, like, well, I still got Black Cauldron vibes from this, though,
yeah.
now that you're saying Black Cauldron.
Yeah.
You know, like, Maleficent, you even had the crow element
oh,
to
yeah.
it. Like, I get why you're saying Maleficent for sure.
Mm-hmm. But, which is interesting, because magic and Star Wars is kind of not the same thing.
That was the big long thing that I didn't mm-hmm. write all of it down, where it was critiquing it for being more of a fairy tale. It said that.
Mm-hmm.
It said it leaned on the magic, not this seems magical but can actually be explained through science or at least science fiction.
Right.
Which is
more
Star Wars. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Or we just don't talk about that.
But yes, yeah, so the second one is better. I still don't think I need to watch it again anytime soon or ever.
Okay, on your on my scale of 1 with Rogue One, 10 with the Star Wars Holiday Special, your other one was 7.5. What's this one?
It's probably like a 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would rate it a 5.
Yeah.
Do you want to know why?
Because of Blurgs?
Because of Blurgs. It has Blurgs and Ewoks.
Yeah.
Also, what happened to Wicket's family?
I don't know. Whatever.
They had this whole thing.
Yeah, whatever.
But
They also got murdered at the beginning of the movie.
That's really sad.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So you don't need to watch either of these ever again is what you're telling
me. No. No.
Did you have fun watching them this time, though?
I did. It was interesting seeing a glimpse into history, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, these are very much like, if you're watching these, watch them with a grain of salt. Mid-80s, made-for-TV movie.
I was sitting there just thinking how lucky we are to be in a time where we can turn on Disney Plus and watch The Mandalorian
mm-hmm.
instead of waiting for CBS to play The Battle for Endor or what have you. Like,
yes.
Like, it's just night and day as to what we have for extended content outside of movies.
Oh my goodness, is it ever. And I will tell you this, I've always loved Ewoks. This didn't change that at all. I think it may have strengthened it a little bit more.
They are cute. I mean,
adorable.
Ewoks are cute. Yeah.
I like, so some people say that they're kind of creepy because of the teeth and, you know, the almost cooking humans. I like that about them.
I mean,
I think they're interesting.
They're just hobbits kicked up another notch.
That's probably why I like them. I'm part hobbit, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But yeah, so.
Yeah, cool. Right.
Endor. It's moon.
Yes.
Forests.
Yes.
Okay.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Do you want to move on to trivia?
Yeah, let's. I don't, well.
Okay, you are going to ask me, but first I want to go over our questions from last week.
Yeah, no, that's.
So, nah. Yeah. Do you remember how.
No.
No? Okay. Do you remember how I asked you
no.
questions all about Mary Poppins? Because we were talking about the 1960s.
I tried to remember mm-hmm. How mean you were to me after I was so nice to you.
Yeah, I got like 3 for 3 for the first time ever.
I was really nice to you.
If it makes you feel better, you also got 3 wrong.
Wrong. Yeah.
Wrong.
No, I know. I'm well aware.
Okay, but I thought these were good questions. I didn't know you didn't know Mary Poppins at all.
What?
Okay, no. So I started with the hardest question of all. I asked you that, I said, Mary Poppins quoted John Keats when she comments, "A thing of beauty is a joy forever." She pulls a potted plant out of her big giant magic carpet bag thing. And I said, the same quotation was used in another movie that was like geared towards children in 1971. And I asked you what it was. And this is what you said.
I don't know.
So it's probably pretty mean for me to start with my hardest question right at the gate.
Yeah, it kind of threw me off, actually.
Maybe that's what it was. Sorry. It was quoted by Gene Wilder in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
And I've watched that movie a lot.
That's why I picked it. I
can't even picture that him saying that, honestly.
Well, it was one of those things when I read this, I was like, I do remember that, but I wouldn't have been able to pick it out.
I don't.
Oh, see, and you have such a good memory for
those kinds of things.
Yeah,
I honestly don't remember him saying that in that movie.
Interesting. Whatever. Oh, okay.
It's a good movie, though.
It's an excellent movie.
I would say it's maybe even better than Mary Poppins.
Ooh, that's tough.
It's a musical.
It is a musical. I love both of those movies a lot. They fit very different moods of mine, though.
True.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is much more twisted.
That's probably
and
why
that's
you like
why
it.
That's why I like it.
Whereas I'm like, oh, a spoonful of sugar. Okay, so Mary Poppins also has Walt Disney's favorite all-time song. I asked you what the name of the song was. This is what you said.
It's the one about the money, isn't it?
The one they sing at the bank?
Yeah.
I actually think you were on the right track with this one because you were talking about, like, the tuppence that
he
has.
Yeah, but that... Yeah.
But I think you were thinking about the big scene in the bank.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, because when they start talking about the tuppence the first time before they go to the bank, that is when Mary Poppins launches into Walt's favorite song of all time, which is Feed the Birds.
Yeah.
And it's Feed the Birds, a tuppence a bag. So I was like, oh, maybe you had it, but no, it was the bank.
No.
Okay. I was trying to be...
No,
okay. But yeah, it's a great song. Do you know that they had such problems after that song came out and became popular that they had to make feeding the birds illegal in that area of London?
Well, birds poo, so...
That's why. They couldn't keep up with the cleaning of it. Okay, and then my third and final question was, prior to the 1964 premiere of Mary Poppins, what was the last studio premiere that Walt Disney himself personally attended? This is what you said.
Sleeping Beauty?
Good guess.
Yeah,
really good guess.
I I didn't know that Walt was such an anti-premiere guy.
Neither did I.
Come on.
Neither did I. And
Sleeping
and
Beauty was a big deal.
Sleeping Beauty makes a lot of sense. He was very interested in Sleeping Beauty. He put a lot of money towards Sleeping Beauty. They had all these, like, artistic achievements. Like you said, his first castle that he ever did was Sleeping Beauty Castle.
This should have been a big deal. I guess it should have been. Didn't care about premieres, I guess.
The last one he attended was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Which was a big deal as well.
Well, it was. Yeah, but nothing between 1937 and 1964. That's
wacky,
crazy.
Wacky.
Super wacky. Super, super wacky. All right. So, not great.
Well,
But you learned some stuff, didn't you?
It was Mary Poppins focused. I don't really feel that bad about it.
Okay, that's fair. If you're doing Star Wars focused here, I'm not going to feel that badly about it either.
I'm actually going to do some Ewoks focus.
Oh, okay.
We watched the Ewoks movie.
We did. Are they specifically about these movies?
No. Mostly about Ewoks in general.
Oh, no. I don't know anything. Okay. I just think they're cute.
Yes.
Are they cute?
They are adorable. Okay. So, their adorableness is actually inspired by an earth creature of some sort. What do you think that creature is?
Well, I always figured they look like teddy bears.
Yeah, they kind of do.
But that's not a creature.
No, it's a living, breathing creature.
A living, breathing creature. Are they like raccoons?
Maybe. I don't know.
Like, see, to me, they're like not even half, but part raccoon, part fox. I think I get serious red panda vibes from them, honestly. Okay, no, I'm going to go raccoons.
Okay, raccoons, final answer.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
This one might be a little bit easier because I think you did some research on this.
Just not necessarily.
Judging from your speaking during the episode. What Star Wars species was originally supposed to fill the Ewok's role in Return of the Jedi?
Chewbacca's.
The species.
The Wookiees. The Wookiees.
The Wookiees.
Yes.
The Wookiees. Ah, the Wookiees.
The
Chewbacca defense.
I always just figure that Ewoks are like tinier versions of Chewie when you look at their design.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the actor that portrays Wicket in these movies, as well as Return of the Jedi, Warwick Davis.
Yes.
In addition to being a mischievous, murderous leprechaun.
Yes.
What other famous genre series does he play multiple characters in?
Multiple characters?
He does, indeed.
Because he was in the... We didn't get The Hobbit, we got him instead.
So, yes, he's also another Lucasfilm off-brand Hobbit.
Yeah,
Willow.
Willow.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about, though.
They didn't, like, do some weird CGI stuff with him doing Gremlins or anything like that, did they?
No. Wait, I'm not supposed to answer you. But it was not Gremlins, no.
I literally have zero idea. Hmm. Like, I can't even fathom. Have I seen this?
Oh, yeah. Lots of people have. Very famous.
I cannot even fathom a guess.
Because he's quite young when he's doing Wicked.
Like. Yes, yes. Well, I think he was, like, 14 when he did these Ewok movies or something like that, so...
I don't know about that young, but he's quite young.
He's young, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have no idea.
You have no idea.
Literally no idea.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, you'll just have to find out next week.
I thought for sure you were going to ask me about the How I Met Your Mother, the Ewok spiel that Barney gives about how you can tell how old a woman is if you don't without asking her age by ask her what she thinks of Ewoks.
Yeah, that is a good theory.
Ewok theory.
Of course, now most women don't even know what Ewoks are.
That's
so.
Ridiculous. No. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that didn't go very well.
No, not really, but I took to heart your evil questions from
last week. I
didn't
think they were
week,
evil. I thought they were interesting.
And I tried to be slightly less evil.
Okay, all right. That was nice of you.
But still.
But it didn't work. I didn't think those were evil.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, if you think you know the answers to these, by all means, please contact. You can make fun of me for not knowing that answer. I feel like that's driving me crazy now. But you can contact us on our social media or through our website. You can chat and suggest trivia or just to say hi.
Hi.
Like saying hi. Hi. Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
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 Hey. That's the second Hamilton reference.
Yeah. Maybe we just watched it recently.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Again. Okay, so that's our show for today before we start quoting more Hamilton. So thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for our awesome custom theme song that you heard at the top of the show. You can find his link to our work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, and you can also find us on social media, Instagram at disneya.podcast. I will not make it into a Nuemo one. I will not make it into a Nuemo one.
There might be a lot of Nuemos on there.
But also Facebook at DisneyA and Twitter at DisneyA Podcast. You can also find DisneyA episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and all of them.
That's a lot of podcasts in places.
Almost, most of them. Mm-hmm. Please review our podcast. We'd really appreciate it. Subscribe. If you write us a review, we'll read it on, well, when we record. Mm-hmm. I was going to say on air, but we're not really on air.
Well, there's air involved. I'm breathing right now.
Okay. We would really appreciate it if you could recommend DisneyA episodes to anyone you think might like our show. We are trying to expand our reach, so that would help us out a lot. You can also listen to DisneyA episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio on Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern with replays on Wednesdays and Friday, also at 4. You can listen to Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, Radio Garden, and other radio station apps. So they're doing this new thing where they are bringing sounds and music of different Disney parks for stretches of time.
Which is pretty cool.
Which is super cool. And we are super happy to bring you the sounds and music of Disneyland. Ooh. Yeah. Our home park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah, it is. So be sure to check that out. Also join us next week. We are going to talk more about movies. Different movies.
Different movies, yeah.
Newer. Much newer. Mm-hmm. Yes. We'll be talking all about the upcoming Oscars. Yeah, we always love the Academy Awards, so.
Yes, and we are going to pick out our Best Picture winners.
We did not know that. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we can see if we were right or wrong.
Uh-huh.
And of course, we'll talk about the Disney elements that are in there and everything. So we'll get a mention, but we'll also be talking about all of the Best Picture nominees.
Yes.
Yes. Excellent.
We have some movies to watch in the next week.
All of them.
Yeah.
All right. So until then, I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
Till the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A. But that was another nerdy thing. But
got the mustard out. Yes, exactly. There you go.
Well, that's going to be the clip for the end.